For just a few minutes tonight, we're going to look at two verses found in Ephesians chapter 1. Here in Ephesians 1, in verses 3 through 14, is a beautiful picture of our salvation, what the Father, what the Son, what the Holy Spirit have done for us in saving us from our sins and to God. Verse 7, it reads this: "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us." That's what I want us to consider tonight, simply this verse found in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul begins here, after speaking of the work of the Father, he shifts to the work of the Son in salvation, in Him, in Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, the only begotten Son of the Father. It's in Him, the Messiah, the Savior, that we have redemption. That we have redemption. This idea of redemption means to purchase or to buy back from slavery, to set free. Its origins is found in the Old Testament. When you think about the story of Israel, who spent 430 years enslaved to the Egyptians. The Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 6 and said, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you. I will set you free. I will purchase and buy you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." And so there we have this picture of God setting free from slavery the Israelites. You have another picture in the Old Testament. You think about the prophet Hosea. God told Hosea to go back in Hosea chapter 3 and to go purchase his wife who had sold herself off again into prostitution, into sexual slavery. And he buys her back. He sets her free. He redeems her. In the New Testament, we are told here, in Christ, we now have redemption. What does that mean? What does it mean that Christ has redeemed His people? What has He redeemed us from? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 tells us this: "To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." So one thing that we are redeemed from is from the enslavement of sin. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, "All who sin are slaves of sin." And He promises that those whom He sets free are free indeed. And so that's one thing that we can see that that's our need to be redeemed from is the enslavement of sin. There on the cross so long ago, Christ took that penalty for us. He broke the power of sin, and one day in the future, we will be free from the presence of sin. We are redeemed from the enslavement of sin. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that we are also redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." So He rescues us from the kingdom of this world and transfers us to the kingdom of God. How? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He buys us out of that bondage and out of that spiritual darkness. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we are redeemed from a worthless life. Peter writes that to those scattered about, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." All those who are outside of Christ, those who are still in their sins, those who are still part of the kingdom of this world, live a futile life. A life that Solomon speaks of as vanity, chasing after the wind, a life that is purposeless and worthless, because all people were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But sin stops that naturally. And yet, there on the cross, Christ redeems us from a worthless life to give us meaning and purpose once again. So in Him, we have redemption. How? Through His blood. Through His blood. Redemption always comes with a price. There's a story I heard a pastor tell one time, and I spent a long time trying to figure out if this was myth or in legend or if it was truth. Either way, it's a good story. Back in the time of the Crusades, there was a couple. The man was named Sir Grimwald, and his wife was Lady Sybil. And during this time, the enemies went and they captured Sir Grimwald, and they enslaved him, imprisoned him. And they told his wife, Sybil, if you want to see your husband again, if you want him to be set free, it's going to cost you something. And it would ultimately cost her her right hand. That was the price. That's what they wanted. And there's an inscription there at their castle, and it said, her lily white hand was severed to get her husband back. Redemption cost her something to redeem her husband. Now again, whether that's myth and legend or whether that's true, here's what is true. There was a redemption that was paid 2,000 years ago for us there at Calvary. A redemption that cost a great price. God does not just wink at our sin and pass us over and say, come on in. There is a price to pay for sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you have been bought with a price. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed. You've been set free by a great price. What's that price? Paul tells us, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, speaking to the elders there at Ephesus, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Because the blood of Christ is our ransom price. It's our redemption price. The great blood of Christ. The precious blood, as Peter puts it, as of a lamb unblemished. Jesus sets us free by dying in our place, by shedding His blood. So our salvation came at a great cost, but a cost that you and I could never pay. A price that we could never atone for ourselves. We could never justify ourselves with our works. It's only through the shed blood of the Savior. Why? Ace prayed it earlier. Because Christ is the one who is truly God and fully man. He's the only one that could satisfy that price that was owed to God because of our sin. And because of that reason, we can sing the hymn, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What does that accomplish? In Him, we have redemption through His blood. Why? Or for what reason? For the forgiveness of our trespasses. So that we can be forgiven. So that all the sins that we have can be wiped away. No longer counted against us. When Jesus was there on the cross, in John's Gospel, it tells us He cried out right at the very last, it is finished. And what is it that was finished? It was the payment of sin. It was the bearing of God's holy wrath for you and for me. He had truly accomplished salvation there on the cross. The price had been fully paid. A few weeks ago, I was at Sam's Club, and you have to always turn in your receipt when you're walking out the door, they need to check it for whatever reason, and they need to make sure that you have everything paid in full. And there's a good reason, because I was walking up and they said, "Sir, you have not paid for your waters underneath your buggy." And I said, "Well, I have a receipt." And they said, "Yeah, but you didn't pay for those, and so you're stealing them. So you need to go back, get in line, pay for them." So I go back, get in line, and I pay for them. And then I can walk out because everything has been paid in full. But before that, not everything had been paid in full. But in Christ, when He shed His blood for us, all of our sins, every single one of them, have been paid in full. Micah tells us this, Micah 7, "Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity, who passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of His possession? He does not retain His anger forever. Because He delights in unchanging love, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread on our iniquities. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins to the depths of the sea." That's what forgiveness is. God taking our sins, pardoning us, no longer counting them against us, and removing them, as Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west." We no longer bear the shame and the guilt and the penalty of our sin. It's been annulled, wiped clean by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. Not everybody knows that forgiveness, though. Not everybody has trusted in Christ. Not everybody has had faith to believe, and there are many who are still in the bondage of slavery, of sin, still enslaved, not yet set free. And that may be true of anyone here tonight. And if that's true of you, tonight is the night to run to Christ, to run to the cross, to look to the Savior who shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Many of you, though, are believers. And many of you know the pain and the regret of sin. We all do. Things that we've said, things that we've done, things that no one else knows that we've said or done. We've just have hidden sins in our hearts and thoughts that we're thankful that no one else knows about. Here's the thing. Whether it's a known sin to everybody else or a sin of your heart, all of our sins have been forgiven in Christ. There are some people who struggle with that, who struggle with that reality, thinking that, yes, but there's still some things that God holds over my head. But that's not what Scripture says. "As far as the east is from the west, He removes our transgressions from us." The blood of Christ is enough to wash all of our sins away. That's why John tells us in 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so if you are harboring any guilt because of your sin, again, run to the cross. Remember the blood that was shed for you. But maybe you're here tonight and you are caught up in unrepentant sin. Some sin that maybe no one else knows about, just you and God. Something that you've been working with or just struggling with for a long time, and yet you continue over and over to indulge in that sin. This is, again, a part of God's grace tonight. To confess your sin, to remember what Christ has done. David said in Psalm 32, when he did not confess his sin, he was wasting away. Don't let that be true of you. Go to the Father through the Son. Remember the blood that was poured out for you so that you can clearly sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. God does not want His children to go through life feeling guilty and shameful. He wants us to be set free because of Christ. Why? Why has all of this happened? In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. God is rich in grace and in mercy and in love. We did not deserve to be redeemed. We did not deserve to have our sins forgiven. We deserved hell. We deserve death. We deserve what Jesus experienced for us on the cross. But God did not give us that. He's given us Christ's righteousness, and Christ has taken our sin. Praise the Lord for His great grace. Paul tells us in Romans that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. That's why we sing often the hymn, Grace Greater Than All of Our Sins. It says, Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon, forgive, and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. His grace is greater. We have sinned, yes. You've heard me say this over and over. A great quote from John Newton. I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. And His grace is sufficient to save us, sufficient to keep us safe, and sufficient to take us home to glory one day. Praise the Lord that in Him we have redemption through His blood. We can experience true forgiveness from our sins, our trespasses, all because of God's grace. Tonight, we have a great privilege to come to the Lord's table once again for a second time this week. It's a part of God's grace to us to be able to do that. We proclaim the Lord's death together as we come to the table. We've already sang a lot of gospel-centered songs. We've already read Scripture that exalts the gospel tonight. We've already prayed prayers that exalt the gospel. We've just heard a word from God that exalts the gospel. And now we get to see a picture of the gospel. The bread and the cup that remind us of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus given over for us out of His great grace and love. So let us prepare our hearts as we come to the table together. Father, as we come to Your table tonight, help us to come humbly, knowing how unworthy we are. Help us to come honestly about our sins, looking to Christ who died in our place for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Help us to come with grateful hearts as we remember the great debt that was paid for us. Lord, help us to come with reverence and awe as we remember the price of our redemption, the blood of Your Son. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.